You won the Senate seat, District 13, in 2018. I believe that was Senator Ketron's seat before.
It was, yes, sir.
And I went back, and here's the fun stuff. I went back and I counted how Senator White voted since she took office in 2013. Three terms in the House and one term, part of a term in the Senate. And I counted 50 key votes that NFIB has taken on the House and Senate floors since you've been in office, Senator, and you were 50 for 50 on those votes.
Okay. That's 50, good.
50. you also, I noticed, you know, occasionally you get someone's absent or there's a blue light, you know, where you go neutral and you don't vote. You've never done that. You never missed a vote and you don't take days off and you don't blue light. So, that's the first thing that stood out to me when I was kind of looking back at the last few years and why we're here today. And also I tried to, then I did some kind of some memory bank stuff, and I don't recall a vote in House committee that went against small business where you were on a House committee. And you may have, but I don't remember it. And, I also know the last 2 years on Senate Judiciary and the Senate State and Local Government committees, very important committees to small business. You were with us 100% of the time on several big bills. We don't score committee votes, but they're very important to us. And the COVID liability protection probably stood out the most, where you were with us in June and then things kind of fell apart there and we had to come back in special session in August and you were with us again. So when you sum it all up, Senator Dawn White, you simply have an outrageously strong record supporting small business. And so on behalf of NFIB Tennessee's Leadership Council, which voted on this and approved it, and our 6,000-plus members in Tennessee, it is an honor and a pleasure to present the NFIB Guardian of Small Business Award to you, Senator Dawn White.
Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you recognizing me. And, of course, as a small business owner myself, I realize the importance of, having the tools a small business needs. And NFIB gives those tools and lobbies for a small business to thrive. You know, as a small business owner, it's hard. And I know any of these small business owners on this call will agree with me. You know, you make tough decisions, whether it's deciding, am I going to upgrade my computer system or pay my employees this month? Or am I going to be able to pay my employees this month, especially during some of these hard times with COVID? And I just admire small business owners so much because I was one of them. I know the day in and day out struggles, but there's also great things too in a small business. But there are struggles, and you know, to represent and be able to support small businesses is something that I'm very passionate about.
Well, thank you. It's been a phenomenal run, and I just know you, and I know it's going to continue. You just are, you know, you want low taxation. You want regulations off the backs of small business. You want a level playing field, like for the small gyms, Bridget and Orange Theory and, you know, basically 1,000 gyms or so across the state. You know, those are the things where you've proven to us that you're with us. And one other thing that happens, sometimes there's folks that have really good voting records and they've got a bill or two a year where you're like, I got to go see, you know, Senator so-and-so or Representative so-and-so. I have never had to do that. You sniff out bad bills if people bring them to you. So I appreciate that as well. It's good for my ticker.
Right, of course. You have to be selective, especially in the Senate now that you have a lot of House members, of course, that need Senate sponsors, and there's not as many senators to sponsor their bills. You do have to be a little more selective in the Senate.
Yep, you do. It's a little different over there. It's more of a club and less of a nightclub, I guess.
It's been a great transition for me. It really has, and I've enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it, yeah. A little bit less rock'em sock'em. Okay, so we've got a couple of NFIB members with us and also some of your friends.
Yes.
And we said we'd do maybe a short Q&A and check in. I have one question, but I'm going to save it for last. You know, maybe some of our members have a comment or a question. Maybe some of your friends do as well. Maybe Chad wants to get in on the action too.
He's not allowed to.
He's not allowed to. Okay.
Yeah. She won't allow. I know my role, and that's not gonna happen. But no, I'm proud of her. That's all I can say. I think she's done a great job, and really, really, her heart's always in the right place, and she has that background of being a small business owner, and so she knows what it takes, and she knows that you got to keep the keep the government regulations low and help businesses thrive. And so I'm proud of her.
I appreciate you saying that, Chad. And I also just have never seen Senator White in a committee or on the floor disparage anybody. She treats people great. So, you know, we need that in this time. You can be fierce on the issue, but be kind to people. And she's doing that. So thank you for that as well. That's appreciated in the work environment. So I know Bridget and Hugh are here. I don't know if y'all have anything to ask or share. They're on our leadership council and wanted to be with us today.
Yeah, I'd like to say something, please.
Sure.
Senator White, I don't believe I've ever met you in person. I hope I get to do that someday.
I do too, absolutely.
Yeah, and, I just really want to thank you for your help with the tax on the gym memberships, because that has made a huge difference for us. And I feel like it's put us on the, same playing field as the big box gyms, and has been a huge win for, our small boutique studios. And then also I would like to thank you with your help on the bill for the liability protection for small businesses as well, because that is something that is definitely concerns us, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Can I ask you a question? How did you see it increase after we did the tax limited tax on gyms? Did you see an increase in your enrollment at Orange Theory?
You know, I didn't necessarily, I hadn't really linked it to that, but I will say that we've been going strong ever since that happened, and I do believe we may have had a bit of an increase, but more than anything, I think it just made the people who had the memberships more comfortable in, you know, these gym memberships help people feel so much better. We have people who were pre-diabetic or taking medications for different conditions who've been able to get off of those medications, and they've been able to help themselves. And I feel like the price making it a little bit more accessible to more people without the tax included has brought more of those people that needed help to the table.
Mm.
And what can we do to help you further? Because, of course, obesity is a huge problem for Tennesseans. I mean, the studies have proven that and shown that. What can we do as a state to help get more people in the gym, in your opinion?
Oh, you know, I feel like a campaign, like maybe some sort of a public service announcement, not just for my gym, but for all fitness, just getting people to, you know, we had a customer who was an African-American lady who was a customer out at our Brentwood studio, and she came and told me that her family, there had been a lot of diabetes in her family and some heart disease, and that she decided rather than get her nails done every week or every 2 weeks, she was going to, for the same price, she could get this gym membership and improve her health. And I thought that was a really refreshing, sorry, my dogs are out there, a refreshing way of thinking. And, you know, maybe some sort of some way to reach out to people and just tell them that, hey, you know, there's choices in what you can do, and there's all kinds of different levels of availability of workout facilities. But, you know, using a workout facility and consulting with an expert, you know, even if it takes a little bit of money, to get some real guidance from a professional personal trainer. I think the high intensity part of exercise needs to be promoted more than just walking and that sort of thing.
Right. Thank you.
I think, and Senator White, you see this a lot. We talk about, especially at the national level, but the state too, we talk about having a healthcare crisis and access to healthcare and costs, and it is a problem. But I also hear some folks, not enough, talking about the health crisis. That seems to be, you know, our choices have an impact on those costs and our lifestyle and our livelihood, our effectiveness. And it just doesn't seem like there's enough talk about that at the federal and state level. It's all about, you know, single payer or, you know, fixing things with mandates or fewer mandates or small business health plans. Those are important conversations, but we have a health crisis. I mean, it just, the numbers show it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also on the gyms, just to answer your question, I do recall Megan and Scott Littlejohn own a gym and Bridget, you know them, Franklin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They had one in Franklin and there was a big box gym that opened right next to them as we were debating the issue the year before. And she lost 25% of her business, which went over to this big box gym because of cost, and it delayed the opening in Murfreesboro in your district because she was watching her business, you know, really suffer and her bank, you know, hit the brakes and, you know, Scott and Megan really struggled there to, you know, and were very active in trying to get this parity with the small gym tax. So it brought a gym and probably several gyms to your district and more jobs and more money. So more tax dollars. And so it was a good thing to do it. That's one thing I know of. I heard other stories, but that's very specific to your district.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
And they've opened one in Spring Hill, I think, since then too, if that's.
Oh, good for them. That's wonderful.
So, anybody else? I have one question, but I'm going to let people keep going. Your friends are welcome to chime in here, either to say yay or.
Well,
hey,
yeah.
Jim.
Go ahead.
Hey, this
go
is
ahead.
Hugh Morrow. Down in Chattanooga and Central Wise. You're always welcome to come see us down here. I'm preparing for a board meeting that starts in about an hour, and I've kind of gone through the last 6 months of carnage to be prepared for that. And frankly, it was encouraging to see that we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And our hospitality industry was probably hit. I saw some numbers a bank provided yesterday nationwide and in this region is hit worse than any other industry. Because what we do is bring people together. We haven't been allowed to do that. So I think we're working through it. I want to congratulate the Economic Recovery Group and the Tennessee Pledge that they came out with and just the work that everybody in Nashville did to get through this. And I know everybody was involved with it. We've got a lot of hard work to do to get back to where we were. We love sending sales tax dollars to you guys to fund things. That's going to be a little less this year, but we think we can continue to pull through it. I just want to thank you and the Senate as a whole for your support. The liability law was safe harbor was just so important, and I can go through many, many more, but thank you for your support and come see us at Ruby Falls.
Oh, I absolutely will. And my in-laws, Chad's mother and stepfather, is from Chattanooga. So we go down there quite a bit.
Sounds like y'all are going to see each other, which is good. Yeah. If no one else has a question, Amelia, go.
I appreciate your mention of how Dawn conducts herself in the legislature. She is widely admired and respected by people on both sides of the aisle for her willingness to do difficult things and to stand up for what she believes in. And I know that she's always been a good friend to small business. She carefully considers every angle of everything that comes across her desk, and that's why people really appreciate her so much, because she will give it to you straight and tell you like it is, but she is always willing to do the tough work for the people, and she is definitely a good friend to small business, and I'm so glad that she's being recognized for this.
Thank you, Amelia.
You.
Well said.
Thank you.
My question, Senator, is we saw the news yesterday. The governor talked a lot about Nashville. and how Nashville and Memphis are, their economic recovery is much, much slower than other areas of the state. I think Sevier County is up 3.4% this year in a pandemic. But some of the numbers in Nashville are really, really bad. And we're getting a lot of calls from members in Nashville, Davidson County, and Shelby County, particularly restaurants. But I'm getting a steady stream of them. And my first question to you is, how is the recovery going in Rutherford County and in Murfreesboro, your district?
You know, we're very, very pleased as a state to see, of course, you know, back in March when we passed the emergency budget, and then in June when we had to pass the budget, again, seeing the numbers, we were very, very conservative because we did not know, you know, of course, the news media was telling us there could be a spike in the fall. We may have to shut down again. You know, we were being very, very conservative. And I think that's one of the reasons Tennessee is as fiscally sound as we are, because we've always been that conservative. And seeing the numbers come in July and August, of course, they're way above what we had projected. And so I think as a state, as a whole, excluding Memphis and Davidson County and Shelby County, we're doing better than what we thought, and that's very, very positive. You know, Chad and I try to go to eat at local restaurants and help them out quite a bit because, let's be honest, I don't like to cook either. But Chad and I do try to support local restaurants, and even on a Tuesday night, not a Friday or a Saturday night, they are really bouncing back. You know, there's people in there. Most of the time, I would say 50% of their seats, even on a Tuesday night, is filled. And so, you know, you can go shopping at any local boutique here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County and see that it is bouncing back. And that is a very encouraging sign for small businesses.
That's what we're hearing is, and to Hugh Marl's point earlier, the Tennessee Pledge, most people are being very mindful of following protocols, and businesses are, and employees are, and people are, he's got a mask. People are wearing their masks and sitting down at their table and social distancing. And by and large, the most people are ignoring the politics, the ugly politics around it, which is important to do and just do your part, right? But in Nashville and Memphis, it's different. Not only are those industries you're talking about struggling more, the restaurants and others, there are industries that have been decimated. Event planners, wedding planners, musicians, music venues, and you're starting to see this friction between the state and the local folks. And, you know, I'm wondering, we're hearing that definitely the energy's been ramped up between the state and some of the municipalities, but and the comptroller is threatening to take over the city of Nashville again because of the finances. There's a 34% tax increase with, you know, in a pandemic while many businesses are essentially in a lockdown. So do you have a crystal ball for us on that? Because it's a big deal for our state.
In January, when we go back, there will be many, many bills filed. Also to look at what powers really does the governor have? I think that is something that will definitely be many, many bills filed. I think many, many bills will be filed also in to see how county mayors and city mayors have powers to shut down an entire county or city as well. Mm-hmm. And we never had to use what is in law right now. And so until you have to use that law or see the impact that law has on a county, a city, or an entire state, you do not know. And so I think we're all going to go back and look to see how much power does one person, whether it's the governor, down to a county mayor, down to a city mayor, can have to dictate how a small business can operate, honestly, in their city or county or the state.
Yeah, that's. I think you're right. I think we're going to see a very healthy debate around that, and a needed debate. I know some of our members. One member sued in Shelby County about the mask mandate, and joined that lawsuit, and that was thrown out. So, but I think, you know, we're supportive. We've been on the economic recovery group. We still meet with the governor's folks every few weeks, and we're supportive of what they have done overall. And, you know, I know Hugh and Bridget are very good examples of that with how they're running their businesses, protecting their customers, protecting their employees. So I want to give a big shout out to them while they're on here. So, cause I've been in both of their businesses. It's amazing what they're doing. I don't have anything else except, wow, thank you, Senator. It's a pleasure to be with you today and do this. Do you want to close this?
Well, thank you so much. And to my friends, Amelia and Penny, thank you for joining me. Penny has been my friend since we were actually born. We're 6 months apart, and our mothers are best friends, so she is like a sister to me. So I appreciate her jumping on the call. And Amelia and I have done probably every nonprofit committee here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County together. And so when you do nonprofit work with someone, you really get to know them. And Amelia and her husband are mine and Chad's best couple friends, and we travel together. And she has just been a wonderful friend to me throughout this journey and has actually helped me in my first election get elected. So I probably wouldn't be here without Amelia. So thank Amelia and Penny for jumping on the call. And, of course, last but not least, I give him a hard time, because he is the trophy husband to District 13. But Chad has been my rock. He is my biggest cheerleader. When I was even thinking about running for Senate, and of course I had a very, very tough primary, and everybody said, oh, you're not going to, you know, pull this out. You're the underdog. Chad was there to say, you're going to do this. You're going to win. We're going to win. And he was my biggest, biggest cheerleader. And I will say, I would not be in the Senate if it hadn't been for Chad.
Oh, wow.
So okay. He is totally my rock and my biggest cheerleader.
Takes a team when you run for office, doesn't it?
It sure does. And it's a lot of people behind you that never get the credit or never get the recognition they need.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you, Chad, for letting us have Dawn in the Senate. all right. Well, you didn't bring your statue with you, did you? Is that back at the office?
Yes, I did.
You did? Oh, cool. There it is. Because we have a picture. We were in your office socially distanced a few weeks ago. And so we've got that up. But, again, Senator, thank you so much. I look forward to working with you more. And, you know, blessings to all. And y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.